Hello everyone, welcome back to today's class. Today we will talk about project estimation techniques. My name is Anuj Dalal and I'll help you navigate this entire chapter. So if you recollect what we did in some of the previous sessions was we looked at some of the project estimation parameters. We started our journey by looking at project estimation. Then we spent some time understanding what is a project. We then looked at some of the project parameters. So things like cost, things like timelines, things like risk, resources, and all these things combined, how do they impact the overall project? We also spent some time understanding who are the stakeholders involved. We kind of identified that the project manager is a single point of contact and the project manager kind of speaks to his counterpart from the customer side, which could be another project manager, and how important it is to have the business objectives clearly stated. We then looked at some of the project management methodologies, things like the waterfall model or the agile framework, the difference between the two. So typically a waterfall model is good for projects that are more static in nature, while the agile methodology is a framework which is used for things that keep changing. So as the name suggests, agile is more flexible to absorb the change in the overall landscape. And we looked at some of the agile methodologies, so things like Scrum, things like Kanban, Scrumban, Extreme Programming, etc., etc. We also spent a good amount of time understanding the difference between allocation, estimation, and what's the role of each of these. And we also briefly touched upon some of the estimation techniques. Things like a top-down approach, a bottom-up approach, etc., etc. So in this particular class, we will deep dive and focus our attention on the project estimation techniques. So let us look at the agenda, and it's a powerful, power-packed agenda. We obviously look at how estimation techniques fit in the overall landscape of a project. And then we look at some of the project estimation techniques. We look at a top-down approach, we look at a bottom-up approach. Then we spend some time looking at expert judgment. We will then look at analogous estimation. More importantly, where I would want you to channelize your efforts would be not just in terms of understanding or knowing these estimation techniques, but more importantly from an application perspective. So which of these techniques apply in what scenarios? So that's really important. We'll spend some time on looking at parametric model estimation, three-point estimation techniques, estimation using a what-if analysis. We also look at something called as a COCOMO model. It was very popular when it was introduced, and now we look at COCOMO 2 model, which is prevalent. We will also look at something called as the wide brand Delphi model and the planning game. So obviously this is going to be a action-packed session, so stay tuned. And as I said, the key takeaways from this particular session should be to know the name of these estimation techniques and look at scenarios where each of them would be more applicable. Understand the pros and cons of each technique, and then make a judgment as to which technique is better for which scenario. So there are many different types of projects where estimation techniques are used. There are different sectors, I would say, so where project management is absolutely important. So say sectors like say agriculture or construction or engineering, IT, etc. So that's where project management plays a key role. Project manager or the project management office has a key role in terms of delivering the project, which is as per the expectation of the business owners. And that's where the project manages the expectations of the stakeholders involved. What's in it for the customer to finance the project? What is the ROI analysis that happens? What is the need-based modeling, which actually leads to the project being initiated? So these are some of the important things to keep in mind while a project gets started. A project manager is often challenged to align mainly to six constraints. I wouldn't say constraint, but these are more like the project attributes. And we looked at them in some of the previous class. So just to recap, these are scope, time, cost, quality, resources, and the risk. I will not spend too much time into talking about each of them, because by now I think you kind of understand the importance and the relevance of each of them in the overall success parameter of a project. So broadly speaking, say if I still have to summarize, the project manager would want to have a clearly defined scope, a scope which is agreed both by the business owners from the customer side, as well as the internal stakeholders from the software vendor's perspective. The overall time it would take to deliver a project end to end, and the project can be divided in terms of multiple different phases, or say multiple different sub-objectives or small milestones, and the overall time it would take to deliver these milestones. Obviously, cost plays a key role when it comes to the overall success of a project, whether the project gets delivered in the kind of budget that was anticipated. And if there are cost overruns, then how can the expectations be managed if there are cost overruns? Obviously, everything has to get delivered with a view on the overall quality. So quality never gets or should never get compromised. Even if, say, a project takes a higher amount of time or a higher amount of resources, quality is something that is utmost important. We then look at, say, the resources, how resource allocation needs to happen for ensuring the overall success of a project, in terms resources in terms of, say, human resources, resources in terms of IT, in terms of, say, software, licenses, etc., etc. Doing this, we also plan for the contingency. So that's the risk which has to be taken in a inherent project life cycle. Risk could arise for say from internal processes, or maybe it could be external driven. So the most common questions for a project manager when initiating a project are, first, how much work is to be estimated? I think this by far is the most important question grappling any project manager, be it say from the IT world or the construction world or agriculture domain or any domain for that matter. You start with the scope, and the important thing, I have been saying this in the previous sessions as well, and sorry, at the cost of being repetitive, scope or the statement of work is something that has to be agreed both by the business stakeholders, that is from the customer side, as well as from the internal stakeholders on the software vendor side. So how much work is to be estimated? What exactly is the scope? There should be a scope document which has to be signed off from both parties, so as to not have a scope creep or any ambiguity during the project execution phase. Once the scope is kind of freezed and signed on, then comes the question of how to estimate the project. which are the estimation techniques to be used, and that's the topic that we will discuss in today's class. How much time would it take to complete the project? That's talking from the project schedule. So assuming that say the project has to be delivered either in a big bang approach or it has to be delivered in a phased approach, what are the timelines associated with the project? If we talk about say dividing the project into multiple phases, then what are the milestones for each phase? What are the smaller say work breakdown structures that you have envisioned? And what are the typical timelines associated with the WBS? We spoke about the two approaches in WBS. So one was the phase-based approach and one was the delivery-based approach. So how much time does this take? So that is what the project scheduling talks about. And then moving on to from the scheduling to the ownership. So who would actually be delivering the project? So who would be the resources that be aligned to the phases or say the individual milestones? What would be some of the resources in terms of the IT landscape, that is the server, storage, infrastructure, hardware, software footprint, etc., etc. And keeping in mind a view on the cost, right? So what would be the overall cost? Cost for individual phases or cost for the overall project, and any dependencies or any risk that could be highlighted. As we have said in the past, any risk needs to be registered in a risk register, and efforts have to be spent to include contingency in the overall project plan. So these are some of the common areas that grapple any project manager. So let us look at these particular attributes in a broader landscape. So a project failure would generally result from an inaccurate estimation technique. So assuming that you had an earlier estimation of project completion within say 15 weeks and it takes 30 weeks for the project to get delivered. So obviously that will not go well with the business stakeholders, and also it will not be profitable for the software vendor delivering this project, which was earlier budgeted for 15 weeks and now taking 30 weeks. This can lead to obviously missed deadlines and failure to complete the planned activities. So to avoid this outcomes, it's critical to thoroughly analyze the resources, resources in terms of the overall time, overall budget, and maybe resources in terms of skill support or the IT landscape. So there is no single method that can guarantee a accurate estimate, since there are multiple different factors at play at the same time. Such as maybe unclear scope, and as I've been saying, it's absolutely important to have a clear scope, a clear understanding, so as to have a clear set of deliverables defined. Unless you have a baseline set, you cannot plan your activities around it. So unless it's like saying that unless you have a well-defined thought process about what needs to be renovated in your house, you cannot arrive at a cost estimate or a time estimate, right? So the first thing, and I would want you to view this as a exercise which is done for home renovation. Unless you have a set theme in mind or maybe a high level statement of work in mind, saying that okay, I need to do civil work, or I need to do carpentry work, or I need to do plumbing work, electric work, etc. Even the architect who will actually perform this job, even he doesn't have a clear idea about the time it will take to deliver your dream home to you, correct? So the baseline or the place to start is the actual scope. So even in this case, as I mentioned, There is no a single method that can guarantee an accurate estimate. Since there are multiple factors at play, maybe things like unclear scope or say a resource shortage can really affect the project timelines. And project managers use a range of estimation techniques to estimate a project, and we'll look at all of these. So some of the estimation techniques which are very popular would be a top-down approach, where estimate is done at the top level, and it gives a bird's eye view of the overall project. There is something called as a bottom-up approach, where you start with the detailed activities, the detailed tasks, and then maybe collate the efforts of all those tasks to arrive at a project estimate. There is something called as an expert judgment, where you would invite SMEs, subject matter experts, domain experts, functional consultants to do an estimation. Say situations where the project manager is does not have all the expertise. So in such cases, the project manager has to rely on the expertise from these functional consultants. We will look at analogous estimation, which is estimation which was done to another project and you extend it to the project that you are working on. We look at parametric model estimation, which is a high-level estimation basis certain benchmarks or certain mathematical models. We look at something called as a three-point estimation technique. Now, this is quite interesting. The three-point estimation technique, it talks about three different approaches. Say a best-case scenario, a worst-case scenario, and a reasonable scenario. We look at some of the mathematical models which make the three-point estimation technique a greater success. We then also look at estimation technique using a what-if analysis. So this talks about if-then kind of a statement. So if assuming that four things in the project are met, what would be the estimate as compared to maybe some things which are not met? We look at a Kokomo model. Now, that's an interesting model to look at. We will also discuss the wideband Delphi technique and the planning game. So let's deep dive into each of them. As I said, the key takeaways should be to understand the application of each of this estimation technique. What are the pros and cons? As I said, there is no one size that fits all. Depending upon the nature of work, depending upon the nature of project, each of this estimation technique can be used. It depends upon the project manager, how accustomed or familiar he is with the particular estimation technique. But the important point to note is that a estimation technique may be limited to these, or a new estimation technique is required so as to have a most accurate estimate of a project. So we start our discussion with the top-down estimate, right? So what is a top-down estimate? It is a technique where the overall project is estimated as a whole, and then it is broken down into the individual phases. So it starts from the top. A high level estimate is given to the overall project, and then it percolates down. So you can use this approach basis your historic data, add estimations for each project element. So if you look at this particular pyramid, it gives a bird's eye view of the entire project and the overall picture of the project activities. So this gives a 30,000 feet view of the overall estimate. It doesn't do a absolute deep dive into the different project attributes, but is a fairly easy way to estimate basis the high level project scope. The time forecasting based on the general knowledge about the task. So as I said, this doesn't drill down into the individual tasks, but it'll be more of a general concept, unsaid rule, or estimation basis what has happened in the past to look at the time allocated for the individual activities. The results can be quite vague. Vague, why? Because you've started with a high level estimate. You've not drilled down into each and every individual task that need to be accomplished. You've not clearly listed down all the activities that need to be performed, but it's kept at a very high level. And hence the results can be vague. The time estimates might require correction as the project moves forward. Since this is not very detailed, it is only suitable for a rough or a budgetary estimate to see if the project is viable or not. So take a scenario like this. Say a company wants, a software company wants to bid for a project, and the sales executive, the sales leaders of that particular software company meet the business owners of the customer side, and they look at a high level estimate. They look at a high level project scope, and if during that meeting or as an outcome of that meeting, there is a requirement saying that at a very high level, at a bird's eye view level, at a 30,000 feet level, what would it entail for the project to get completed? How much time it would take and how much cost it would take to complete this particular activity. So by activity, I mean the overall project. So in a scenario like this, where only a budgetary estimate has to be given, a high level or a rough estimate has to be given about the overall project, a top-down approach can be used. A good point about this particular approach is that it doesn't require a lot of effort to be spent on the estimation technique. But again, the con is that the results could be vague. And there is a reason for it, because it's just a bird's eye view. You don't spend a lot of effort in terms of estimation. So it's absolutely proper to have a rough estimate and then maybe drill down into the individual components. So a top-down estimation technique assigns overall time for the project, and it breaks down into say discrete phases, works and tasks. So this to be done at a high level. So if a client tells you that say the project has to be done within 6 months, a top-down approach allows you to take the overall project timelines and estimate how much time can it take for each activity within the project and still complete it on time, right? So you can do some backward calculation and then arrive at things like cost, things like resource allocation, etc., etc. But everything done at a high level. Again, so now let us look at the applicability of this particular estimate. It works well, as I said, in the early phases of a project. To me, it would work really well during the pre-bid phase of a particular project. Also, maybe if it's a early starting phase of project planning, where a rough estimate is required. More importantly, whenever there is a quick estimate or a quick turnaround of the estimate that is required, this estimation technique is to be used. Some of the merits of this, that technique offers a fast way to estimate the resources and assess the project viability. And some of the demerits include, as we understand, there is low accuracy here. The actual number of skills resources needed might be more, the time needed might be more, the cost needed might be more, because this gives a very rough cut or a budgetary estimate where you drive the entire estimate from a top-down approach. So you look at a project as a whole and then try to build a estimation technique around it. So this is about a top-level estimate. Having looked at the top-down approach, let us now look at the bottom-up approach. So as the name suggests, so it starts with the bottom and makes its way to the top. So using this estimation technique, you can start by estimating every individual task, covering every aspect of the project. And then you combine all the individual tasks to arrive at the estimate. So if you look at the pyramid here, now this is an actual pyramid. In case of the top-down approach, it was a inverted pyramid, if you would have noticed. So you start at the bottom. So detailed view of the project plus the thorough list of the different project activities. Because this is bottom-up, you need to have a view of all the different tasks, all the different activities that need to be covered, and then allocate or estimate basis the calculated duration of the individual project tasks. The results through this particular exercise are highly accurate, and there is a reason for it. You, in this particular technique, because there is so much of detailing, you list down every aspect of the project, you discover all the project phases, you drill down, maybe using WBS, that is work breakdown structures, and you look at, say, work packages, individual tasks that need to be completed. So you start with those individual tasks. To start with the individual tasks, you need to have a clear set of outcomes, a clear set of requirements, and that's how you will capture the details. Once you have the details, so you start with the details, and then you estimate the efforts required for each phase. For every activity, you do a estimation. So yes, it's time consuming. It takes a lot of effort to do this exercise. But more the efforts, better the estimate. And that is the reason why the results are highly accurate in this particular exercise. Since each activity is being assessed individually, the type of estimate tends to be more accurate. So as we mentioned, right, because you have a view of the different roles involved, the different tasks involved, and then you collate the efforts of every task, the estimate tends to be more accurate. However, there's a word of caution here. It takes a significant amount of time and effort for this estimation technique to run, and considerably so. What you're doing here is kind of creating a mini project plan by itself, listing down all the activities, listing down all the stakeholders, the R&Rs, that is the roles and responsibilities, the individual tasks that need to be undertaken. Within each task, there could be a subtask and activities under each subtask. So it requires a lot of detail, a lot of work that needs to be done by the estimator. And surely, because a lot of effort is being put in the right places, this would lead to accurate results. The only negative here is that it takes a significant amount of time. The bottom-up approach, it has high result accuracy. And relatively a low variance when it comes to the gap between estimates and actuals. It usually is applied not at the starting phase but at a later stage in the project planning, When you have received all the details with regards to project activities, and the work breakdown structures are available. So again, just to recap, work breakdown structure is used to estimate as an estimation technique to define the two approaches. And what were the two approaches? One was a phased approach and one was a delivery-based approach. In a phased approach, we had learned that it spans across five different phases. Say if it's a design phase or a procurement phase or a construction phase or a validation phase and a turnover phase. In case of a delivery-based approach, you divide the entire project into multiple different deliverables. Because it's a bottom-up estimate, looking at the work breakdown structure, you would have defined your levels. So level one or your level two, maybe level three, which are your work packages, and level four, which could be your activities.